you know, this dating scene and just being in relationships in general, you have to be whole yourself before you can decide that you are going to pursue somebody else.
Preach and that wholeness.
What happens is that people are broken, they're hurt, they haven't dealt with their own issues and insecurities, and then they're seeking out being in relationships to fulfill some type of void that they have.
Welcome to the Speak Your Success podcast.
What's going on, successors, and welcome to the Speak Your Success podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and today we have a special guest in the building. Yeah, we have a special guest. I don't think you really need a true introduction. I'm gonna go ahead and give you one. Okay. Yeah. And I'm gonna go ahead and give you one. But she goes by Meesh.
Yes.
She is one third of the Millennial Love podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The award-winning Millennial Love podcast. I got the co-sign award. Yeah, I got the co-sign award. Okay. She's also a licensed mental health therapist. Mm-hmm. And you got your master's from Clark or Prairie View?
Clark. My bachelor's degree was from Prairie View, and master's is from Clark, Atlanta.
Nice. As well as she is an entrepreneur.
That's me.
Welcome to the Speak Your Success podcast. Therapist Meesh, how are you doing today?
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. I'm doing good. It's nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely glad to have you on. Like I told you before, and I want to be true to the people. Want to be true to you. And just like I said, you as well as Millennial Love, you, Cara, and Justin have all definitely helped me. Just as I've reached out and just been seeking to grow my podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cause, I mean, and you're doing wonderful. I mean, you're like 116 episodes?
16. This is probably going to be like 167?
167.
Yeah, 167.
Wow, okay. See, you're way past us.
Well, I mean, but y'all are still consistent in how y'all do it. I'm just consistent in how I do it, even though I started out doing too many episodes. And I was staying up super late, and I was like, oh, I'm trying to edit this.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It is a lot more work than what people think.
It is. So all the listeners appreciate Jonathan and everything he does putting these episodes out, because we work hard to do this.
Man, it is a commitment. It's a labor of love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, labor of love, definitely. Labor of love. So here, where are we at today? We're in Starbucks, and we're Starbucks in Oak Cliff.
Oak Cliff, that's
Oak
right.
Oak Cliff. Oh, yep. Oak Cliff,
off
Texas.
Off Camp Wisdom.
Off Camp Wisdom. Mm-hmm. This is a really, we're just talking about it. This is a really nice Starbucks. This is a really nice place.
Yeah, so this Starbucks is the first of many buildings that they're, like, businesses that they're building over in this area to rebuild, like, the Redbird Mall area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this Starbucks has a conference room, which not a lot of Starbucks have them. But they wanted to have this conference room for people in the neighborhood that want to, you know, build businesses and don't have the opportunity or don't have an office space where they can have business meetings to come in. You reserve it, and then you can have a business meeting here at Starbucks.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder how they came up with that. Like, the concept, I guess somebody told them what the people need.
Right, exactly.
And then they went.
Somebody
and did
their research.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think that's super awesome, though.
It is. It's great. I mean, I'm really excited to see what the neighborhood is going to look like in a couple of years. I'm hoping that our people stay in the neighborhood, because they're not trying to gentrify it.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Just wanting to revitalize the area. So,
okay, because that's what like Mike Rawlings, and I forgot the name of the initiative that they were doing. God, I can't remember the name.
Grow South.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know they weren't trying to gentrify the area.
No, they're not trying to gentrify the area, which is why you have several of the pastors in the area that are also involved, and like they stay abreast of what's going on with the initiative.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Shout out to Starbucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome. So like we talked about before, I really wanted to bring you on because it's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, so I've been a therapist now in the state of Texas for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
But I started in Georgia. So, it just, to me, means that people are being educated on mental health awareness for either themselves or family members or friends that are dealing with mental health illnesses. And breaking the stigma, you have National Alliance for Mental Illness, which is NAMI. They do a lot of advocacy for those that have mental health illnesses. So this is just the month to recognize that having a mental health illness is not, you know, something that people need to be afraid of. We need to have the conversation, really focus on education and making sure that people are getting the help they need.
I didn't actually know about NAMI until I think maybe it was a few years ago. I think I went to, it was like a event. I want to say it was almost like an open mic, but I think they sponsored it somehow because I think they were just really trying to get out the word just to let people know what they do, let people know what they represent and the services they offer and stuff like that. But just talking about mental illness and mental health, why do you think it is in our culture that there's a stigma on it? It's like, oh no, like nothing's wrong with our family. We don't need to go see a therapist. Why do you think that is?
Because we were taught to be so strong. And so when you recognize an anxiety or depression, people see that sometimes as weakness because you are actually admitting that something is wrong and you need assistance. So in our community, because we were taught to be strong, to not be broken, to always keep whatever happens in your house, you know, because we were taught those things, we see it as a negative to reach out for help. And or we see it as just, oh, they're just crazy. You know, like people throw out that saying all the time. But I will say that millennials, we are more willing to seek help, which is amazing.
Yeah, come through millennials.
And, right. They talk about us all the time, but at least, you know, we out here getting help.
Yeah.
We are also talking to our families about it, so our parents. I'm a therapist, but I receive therapy. I have a therapist myself that I go to because it's healthy. It's just like going to see your doctor for anything else. You also need to take care of your brain. So that is, you know, a part of it.
I think that's huge. Just to, one, for you just to just openly admit that, because I think that there are a lot of people who are still, just because now in this day and age and just with millennials, I'll talk to our millennial listeners just for a second. But we're understanding now that you can't hide your life anymore.
You can't.
Like there are some people that try to be one person at work and then try to be another person at happy hour and then try to rotate off doing all these things and that is exhausting.
It's exhausting. And not only is it exhausting, it's gotten a lot of people that do that into an exhausting space. You know, like they're at home and they're exhausted just being at home where they should be resting. But because they're trying to take that mask off from all the different places that they have to be different people, they're exhausted even in their household. So, yeah, we cannot be different people. We have to be ourselves and we have to take that mask off and we have to be open and honest. So, yeah, I think therapy is great. I can't wait to see my therapist again.
I'm with you. I mean, therapy can be exhausting, but it's just like working out anywhere else. You're exhausted and you're drained from mentally, I guess, lifting mental weights, I guess you could say.
Absolutely.
And then when you come back, you're stronger, you're healing yourself, and you're getting to a place to where you really can grow. Because I went to therapy for, 2 years, 3 years, and then I went through a 12-step biblical recovery program because, I mean, I was the individual who felt that what I did in college, me being promiscuous in college, you know, that's past. Put those skeletons in the closet, they're dead, they'll disappear. But I just ran from understanding I had to really deal with
everything that came with that.
Yeah. Everything. There's so many emotions that come with that. But, you know, I'll speak for the men here.
Okay.
And I'll say sometimes we try to be too strong going against the grain. And we try to, you know, tough guy, girls like the bad guy. And this is, you know, this is something that's taught from just elementary up. And then it gets to a point where then we're looking for a partner. And then the partner wants us to be vulnerable. The partner wants us to share with them how we feel. The partner wants to know that they're being thought about and that they're cared for. Then it's like we have to unlearn everything that we've learned so many years before. We got to do better, fellas.
We have to. I mean, but it starts at home. So mm-hmm. I work with a little bit more about my background. I work with children and adolescents. Mm-hmm. And you will be surprised how many little boys don't want to cry and can only identify with two or three emotions. And it's either happy, sad, or mad. Mm. They're not able to understand that, you know, there's more to your emotions and your feelings than just being upset, you know, and you're not always going to be happy. Sometimes you're just content with everything that's going on. But our little boys are, we don't give them the opportunity and the space to be completely open. And so when I do work with my students, I allow them to cry. But if you're going to cry, you're not going to talk. I'm just going to let you cry while you sit here because you need to feel that emotion. And we don't. And that is real. When you cry and you're really allowed that space to let it out, you feel everything being not completely lifted, but you can feel, you know, some of it lifting away from you because you're at least getting that out. But we don't always allow our little boys to do that. Little girls, yes. But mm-hmm. our little boys, we tell them, boys don't cry. They absolutely do. They have feelings.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those, what do they call, old adages. It's what, boys don't cry. It's put some dirt on it. You're fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But also one thing I'm realizing, just like what you said, like when you cry, then you're now allowing yourself to feel something that maybe you might have not felt before. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's uncomfortable because I can just think back when I was in that counseling office, when I was in grad school, and then I was sitting there, I started to cry. And then I wanted to explain myself and I wanted to justify it. And I was mm-hmm. like, I'm just, you know, I'm sorry. And then the therapist asked me, said, well, what are you sorry for? Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes people get so to the point where we want to apologize for what we felt when we shouldn't. I don't think we ever should apologize for what we feel.
No, your feelings are valid.
Yeah, if there's a negative reaction, we might have to, you know, that's something we might have to, you know, further explain and go into detail there. But, mm-hmm. you know, because the feeling, I think, is a natural response. But then what happens from there, we have the choice to decide.
Absolutely. Yes.
Man. But therapy is so powerful.
It is. It's very powerful. And I don't think that people realize what going to therapy is. Because if your experience has been like any other, the therapist doesn't tell you what to do.
Ooh,
so
no,
the therapist
don't.
Is not there for a fix, you know, your yeah. situation.
Quick
right?
fix. Oh, I come in, you tell me what to do,
and then I go.
I leave, yeah.
You're there to release all of the things that, you know, you guys have determined is your goal for these sessions, and then they help guide you, but you are the expert in your life. Mm. So they're going to help you come to conclusions for yourself. And I think that that's the best thing about therapy, is that you as the client are really going forward and coming up with solutions for your own issues. The therapist is just helping you and guiding you through that process. They're there to ask those questions, to probe more, to make you think more. But you are the expert in your life, and you are going to really come up with those solutions.
And I think that's really great, because when we get to that space where we're coming up with our own solutions, when we eliminate the therapist eventually, or we might keep them around, like might do a check-in or might see them every so often instead of like every week, now we have tools
absolutely.
That we can apply within our lives when we might feel overwhelmed, or we might feel like anxiety or things like depression. And now we know how to cope, because a lot of these things, or a lot of illnesses, sometimes people feel that I take the meds, they go away.
Yeah, no.
And I think that's another misconception, because people assume I take these meds, you know, I'll take these for 30 days, just like a antibiotic, and it'll be gone. But it's like, no, you have to continue to do this in addition to, well, now you have tools to utilize to cope with.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what you're talking about, man. You don't need me on here.
No. Because, well, I don't know if you know, but I was in grad school. I was studying to become an LMFT until...
Okay.
Yeah, until that didn't finish. Mm-hmm. So, because my writing, like, I struggled in writing.
Grad school is all about writing.
That's what my boss told you. He said, it's all about writing. And I was like, man, it can't be. It's all about writing. It's all about presenting. It's all about
writing.
And don't get me wrong. I can go up there and I give a presentation. I'm like, hey, what's up? Hey, we're doing a presentation. But then when it came to writing, it was like, no, Jonathan, you can't just charm this one out. So that did not happen. Okay.
Well, still have the knowledge, so this is great. This is a good conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I've been through a decent amount of therapy, like I said before, myself, and now I'm beginning to realize that in life, you can't just expect things to solve themselves or problems to solve themselves. This is business. This is mental health. This is relationship. Issues don't solve themselves; they just get bigger. If you're like, okay, I'm just gonna go to sleep and this is gonna disappear and we don't have to worry about it. It just grows. It's like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Okay. Yeah. Anyway. so we talked about our little boys and our being boys of color.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that worries me, or I don't know if worry is actually the best word, but help me through this, Meech. I'm a little concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be some of our women.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a knock on our women, because our women are strong.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about unmatched. when it comes to a level of strength, when it comes to a level of loyalty, when it comes to a level of just consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without a doubt, because our women are raised strong.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and then I think sometimes it's almost to a fault because they're too strong. Because if I'm so strong, why do I need this man?
Mm.
Or why do I, you know, if I'm so strong and I can do what you do, why do I need you?
You know, I think that. I have to answer this correctly. I think that for women, we have to, one, be honest with ourselves and know that you do need a man in some aspects. Mm. But then I need our men to understand that it's not always that we need you, but that we want you.
Yeah.
We desire our Black men, and I'm just going to speak, you know, candidly on that. We desire our Black men to be by our side.
Mm.
So it's more so a desire than a need. However, we do need men in some aspects. You know, like, I got to get an oil change.
I mean, you can say that, but I'm just going to step out there and say sisters can change oil too. I'm just saying.
They can't, but see, you know that. That's when we get into those, like, gender wars and like, gender, you know, the roles and who plays what. But, you know, I just think that there are, in some aspects, ways that we need men.
That's
protected and provided for. And it doesn't have to be monetary,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you're providing, because I think that we've gotten to a space where there are a lot of very successful women.
Especially in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You can't play with them sisters in Atlanta.
But Dallas, I'm learning too. These women
no,
in
no,
Dallas.
No, Dallas yeah. too. There are women out here. Like, there are women out here, because I've seen them. I know them. I date one. Like, I mean,
right.
They are out here. And the thing with our women that I've seen, it's not what am I going to do? Well, no. It is what am I going to do, because I can do so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and y'all don't get tired. So it's like, you'll do this. Just like mom, because we all know mom's superwoman. You know, she'll go to the soccer game. She'll cook dinner. She'll go to sleep after you. She'll wake up before you. And she does anything and everything. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm off my soapbox.
Okay.
I'm off my soapbox.
We need y'all. We want y'all. And I think it's collectively we have to learn how to navigate through relationships and not, as women, be so hard. Sometimes we can be really tough.
Mm.
But again, it's because of our background growing up. We
yeah.
have, a lot of us, seen our moms be very strong. Mm-hmm. And so those characteristics were just kind of passed down. It was something, you know, that we learned. But I have faith in the millennial generation. I'm going to keep talking about millennials.
Yeah, come on. Millennial love. Come on. Show the millennials
some
love. I just
feel like we're doing a great job of kind of turning over some of those stereotypes about blacks.
Like, I'm with it.
We're getting our degrees. We're moving up the corporate ladder. We're playing, you know, like we're doing the house thing and we're doing career.
That is true.
We're making sure that black marriages are a thing again.
Black love.
Like, yes. The documentary. Like that's happening. Yeah. I can see it. Yeah. I feel it. I just think it's great that millennials are moving the direction we are. So
I'm with you. I mean, I definitely have faith in the generation as well. But I mean, same thing to the brothers, though. The brothers can't be out here trying to have all the women. Because, I mean, that ship has sailed, man. Because I think that's another piece of why the women are so strong and maybe sometimes tough. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I seen you date my friend and now you shooting your shot at me. That's not like, that's not how it goes.
People do that?
I think people used to do that. I mean, there are some people that
it's
work.
Happening. Yeah, it's happening because you just said it.
Well,
yeah.
No. I'm just speaking about some people that I knew in my past life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some of those people. We ain't gonna call no names.
Nah, we won't do that.
Yeah, but
no, but for real, I see it too. I see guys. I mean, Dallas is infamous for it. You know, like they don't need to date you here.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing. People go on dates and then they expect, hey, I pay this much for the date, then I'm supposed to get something late.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just.
And then it turns into they want to talk.
That's like, so high school.
Right. I'm not 17 years old. We are not in high school. We are adults. So, yeah, our brothers need to step up too.
Man.
In the city of Dallas specifically.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I mean, that's real. Okay, we're supposed to be talking about mental health. We're talking about mental health.
That has to do with people's mental health. Yeah, this dating scene and just being in relationships in general, you have to be whole yourself before you can decide that you are going to pursue somebody else.
Preach and that wholeness.
What happens is that people are broken, they're hurt, they haven't dealt with their own issues and insecurities, and then they're seeking out being in relationships to fulfill some type of void that they have. So we can tie mental health back in.
That's
everything.
Good. You're right. No. You're right. Because hurt people. Man.
Yeah.
And that was my story. That was my story because I was, like I said, promiscuous in college. And then it just got to the place where I hopped into the relationship and I'm like, wow, this is the best girlfriend I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the one. We need to break up.
Oh.
We need to break up.
Because that feeling was.
Because I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready to give her what she needed. Like I was talking about before. What I was talking about before, I was loosely talking about myself. But okay. I couldn't be vulnerable. I couldn't even say I love you.
Mm.
And she was just like, I'm giving you all of me, but you can't even tell me that. That's crazy. Like
that's the thing.
On an emotional level. Like on an emotional level. And then I was like, oh my goodness. So then we broke up for like 2 years.
Wow.
You want to talk about some nights crying? And it's so crazy. This is definitely a guy thing because we both was going through it. Like she was crying in her own time. I was crying. Like we didn't talk. Mm-hmm. Like I'm talking about, we had some friends in the same circle. So we had brushing to each other, bumping to each other here and there. And it was like I would get discombobulated. It was every time like she started to escape my mind. Then I'd see her and I'd get discombobulated. I'm like, and I'd go back to therapy. And then the therapist would tell me, it's like, Jonathan, you just got to focus on getting you together. Don't try to get yourself together for her.
Because
there's no guarantee that after you're done that she's still going to be there.
She's going to be ready, yeah.
When he told me that, I was so hurt. I was going home. I was like, yeah. It was rough. But then we came full circle.
Mm-hmm.
We came full circle. We came full circle. Praise God.
That's good.
Yeah, we came full circle. Yeah, that's definitely a testimony. That's black love.
But you got yourself together.
I had to.
For you.
I had to because I was even in the spot to where I was like, I don't know if she is gonna be there, but I had to get right, period.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, you can move now in the relationship in a better space. And I think that's what people need to understand is that once you work on yourself, because you've been given those tools, because you now have this practice of self-care and treating yourself right and making sure that you're making healthy mental health decisions,
mm-hmm.
you then can navigate through all of these relationships in a better space. Like, you're a better son or a daughter, you're a better boyfriend or girlfriend, you'll be, if you're married, you'll be a better husband, a better father, like all of those things, because you got yourself together. So before you can give yourself to anybody else, you have to, I mean, that's what I'm doing. And I love it.
Okay, so we've been really focusing on Mental Health Awareness Month for the most part. Conversation. So if somebody happens to be in, you know, in Texas, in Dallas, in Irving, the DFW area, mm-hmm. where would you suggest that somebody, you know, should check out? Maybe if they're looking for services or something like that.
So people can definitely reach out to me and I can give them referrals.
Okay.
For different areas.
How can people contact? Okay.
I'll give my email address. It's mhaley, H-A-L-E-Y, @abrighterdestiny.org. Do I need to spell all of that?
No, I think you spelled it. I'll put it in the show notes.
So you can email me and I can definitely give you referrals, because there's several different areas in the DFW, but then there's also different therapists in the area. One therapist that I definitely want to shout out, I think she's amazing. I've worked with her on several business endeavors and also referred clients to her, is Erica. And she is located in DeSoto, but her company is Tailor Made Child and Family Services.
Okay.
Her information is info, the way you can reach her, info@TaylorMade, MadeCFS.org. So she's an amazing therapist, again, here in the DFW. She's been in the field for about 9 years, and she's spoke on different podcasts as well.
Oh, nice.
Right. She works with children. She works with families. She works with individuals for couples therapy and or just, you know, mental health diagnosis that you want to go to individual therapy for.
Nice. So you got ahead of me. So that's what you want to do for the Winner's Circle of the Week?
Yes.
You're good. We can make it work. You know, okay. We can make it flow. But I mean, that's awesome, because I think more therapists should be recognized.
Absolutely.
Because I think people may or may not, depending on, you know, their perspective, depending on where they were raised and different things like that, may not see the value of a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times we've just, in our culture and in our community, we've made the pastor the therapist by default. Let's just pray for it and it's going to go away. Let's just pray over the bipolar child, it's going to go away. Let's just pray over the depression, it's going to go away. And I think that's where I think the line has to be drawn. Yes, I do believe that God can heal.
Prayer works.
Mm-hmm. Prayer does work. But I also know in the Bible says that faith without works is dead.
That's it.
And these therapists are out here working.
Absolutely.
So definitely. Well, can you say her Instagram one more time? I'm going to have all information down in the show notes, but can you say your Instagram one more time?
Yes. So this is Tailor Made Child and Family Services. Mm. Her contact information is info@TaylorMadeCFS.org. And her name is Erica.
Dope. Mm-hmm. Therapist Erica. Okay. So now we have this segment that I like to call 5 words.
Okay.
And in this segment, you, the guest, are now going to have the opportunity to describe yourself in the 5 words. Please.
This is always something that is hard for me. It is difficult for me to describe myself and be put on the spot, Jay.
Well, I told you before it was dinner, so you never done it.
You did. Okay. So I am ambitious.
Okay.
I am organized. I feel like these are words that I say when I'm on an interview. Like,
give us something fresh. Give us something fresh. Don't give us nothing manufactured.
Let me say, I think that I'm also stylish. This might not be one of the words that you were looking for, but I'm really getting into my flow of like my style and what, you know.
Yeah, young black professional, do it then.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the podcast and like we're always on the scene, and I think it's important for when I'm seen to look good.
You gotta dress the part.
And I've dressed for my personality, and so.
And I saw your Instagram where you had what is, I'm about to say MC Hammer suit on.
It's like a jumpsuit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you had a jumpsuit, but it was stylish.
But it was stylish,
it
right?
It was stylish.
So, but it looked like kind of like a bomber.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackie,
but you got to tell people your Instagram so they can go on your Instagram
okay,
and see the suit.
So my Instagram is your YOUR_AugustRush R-U-S-H.
You're August Rush. Mm-hmm. You're underscore August Rush. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. But I mean the jumpsuit was fly.
Thank you. Thank
it was
you.
Fly though. I saw it. Yeah, yeah.
So I pride myself on dressing and being stylish and things like that.
That's what's up.
I am also God-fearing. I am a member of a church here in Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship.
Oh, Dr. Tony
Evans.
Uncle yes. Tony is what I call him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uncle Tony. No, I don't know him like that. I call him Uncle Tony. He don't know I call him that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yes, if I had the opportunity to sit and have dinner with anybody in Dallas right now, it would be Dr. Evans.
Really?
Yeah. I would love to have dinner with Dr. Evans and just get a lot of his wisdom and talk to him about different things. And Dr. Evans, one thing about him in his messages, I always learn a new word. Like, he's so intelligent.
He gives you that word.
He gives you the word. Yes.
Straight up. Like, he don't sugarcoat it. He give you that word.
Absolutely.
My goodness, Dr. Tony Evans. Woo!
Yeah.
You're going to make me go back and listen to the sermon. Because I used to be on there with the Urban Alternative. Yeah, mm-hmm. I used to listen to his podcast. Man, say, them little clips, I'd be going in there donating my little $5 and get the little whole CD set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to pop in one of them CDs.
You got after church, that line is usually pretty long to get that. Because, you know, they record it right then.
Oh, you're talking about the one.
They will give
you
the message, the sermon that day. So that line is usually really long. But yeah. I am God-fearing. Thank God for that ministry. Several other ministries in Dallas that I visit from time to time, but OCBF is my church home.
Okay.
And then lastly, I will say that I am adventurous. I have learned to take risks in life and enjoy things as I go. So
nice.
You might see me doing a, you know, skydive.
No, you won't.
Months. I will. We were just legit talking about it in group text today.
Who inspired you, Uncle Will Smith?
No. Oh, no.
Because you seen he did the thing with that for his birthday.
My friend did it. She lives in Oakland.
Oh,
and
okay.
And she did it for her, I want to say, 32nd or 33rd birthday.
Is that a birthday present, though?
I mean, hey, she enjoyed it. She said it was like a liberating experience.
I can see that. I can see that.
And then I just had another friend, her boyfriend, that was a gift. I don't know what kind of gift that was, but that was a gift to her for her birthday. It was a skydive. And they all have pictures, and like, they just really enjoyed it.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
I have not completely, you know, decided that I am going to do it yet, but it's on the list of things.
Oh, we heard it here first. Exclusive.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Exclusive. Okay, we like those. We like those. Okay, we can rock with those five words.
Okay.
We can rock with those. Yeah, okay. I think you might have snuck in sixth, but it's cool, though.
Did
you had, I? You had God-fearing. I don't know if that's a...
Oh,
it's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna move on. It's cool. So now I have this segment that we call This or That.
Okay.
And this is just some rapid-fire questions, and I'm actually going to ask them fast. Usually I ask them slow. So I'm actually going to ask them faster this time. So you got to go boom,
we're
going
to see
boom,
how fast
boom.
I answer.
Because
you know
see.
I'm a therapist, so I analyze.
I see that as you're answering questions. I see you're about to answer, and you're like,
huh, yeah.
And then you answer.
Okay, so let me see. I'm going to try to go fast. Okay. Where'd you go?
Yeah, go fast like Ricky Bobby. Okay, here we go. Chicken or beef?
Beef. No!
Sprite or Coke?
Sprite.
Cocoa or coffee?
What?
Cocoa or coffee?
Coffee.
Winter or fall?
Fall.
Williams or KFC?
KFC.
Williams or Henderson?
Henderson.
Canes or Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A.
Beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Ooh, I added some extra questions, but you was on there rolling. Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why'd you say no at first with chicken and beef?
Because I don't even eat beef.
Are you vegan?
No. Oh, I'm pescatarian.
Everybody is pescatarian.
Listen, hold on. I'm going to be honest. I'm pescatarian most of the time.
Okay.
But every now and then, I have to eat chicken.
Even though you know chicken is so dirty, right? I love chicken. But I'm just saying, because you know chicken be eating everything. Like, chickens eat chicken. Like, you can chop up a chicken, they can cook it, and they can throw it out there. Everything. Catfish is the most disgusting. I eat catfish. I eat some fried catfish. I'm from Louisiana. Let's be real.
My people are from Louisiana, so I can't.
I mean, catfish is it's delicious. But that's the thing, too. With us, like, we're just, we've been pre-exposed to some of the lower-hanging fruit, so now we just enjoy the lower-hanging fruit.
That's a word.
And that's it in everything. Like, I'm talking about relationship. That's why a lot of, okay, wow, full circle. That's why a lot of good women can't get in some relationships with a guy who's committed, because there's a woman who's making him work for it. And then on the other side, there's a woman who's giving it up.
A word.
And that can go both ways for the guys and the women. You can flip the pieces and you can make it work for you however you want to make it work for you. But that's a thing.
Another thing to think about is something that I had to check myself on is saying, how do I keep ending up with a guy like this? Sis, maybe you have been used to that for so long that is what you keep going after.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
that's definitely a word.
I had to check myself on that. So you're right. We are used to some of the bottom feeders.
Ooh.
And we have somehow allowed ourselves to get caught up in that. And you got to break the cycle.
Break the cycle.
So when it comes to fish, I also eat mahi-mahi. You like mahi-mahi?
Oh, that's an expensive fish. I used to work at Red Lobster with dude. I worked at Red Lobster with Justin. I've said that on like three interviews.
In Atlanta or in Dallas?
No, in Dallas. We used to work at Red Lobster, like right off where 75 and 635 are.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know if it was Atlanta or here, because that I met.
I told Justin? I just know. Well, me and Justin know that's where we worked at together. Yeah, but yeah. I've told that to multiple people. But yeah.
No, Justin told us that's how he knew you, because we got connected. I think you like either you followed or something.
Oh,
and then
okay.
He's like,
okay.
Oh yeah, I used to work with Jonathan.
Yeah. When I saw him, it was just crazy. I was like,
been a long time, what? Huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. Me and him supposed to get together, but he didn't. He left my message on red on Twitter. It's cool. Yeah, it's cool. I hit him up because he's like, hey, let's get together. And then I think I was like, hey, well, when? And then I think he didn't write back, or I didn't write back.
Well, let's get it popping again. I'm going to make sure y'all get together, because we need to see more of our black men connecting and having meaningful conversation. So
I like how you
we'll
did
that. We'll make sure y'all connect.
Yeah. That sounds good. So now the show's over, but now you get the opportunity just to leave a final word with the people. You dropped like three gems just there. But I mean, if there's one last final word that you want to give the people, what would it be?
I will say that it is very important, since it is May and Mental Health Awareness Month. I will say that it is very important to pay attention to your mental health just as much as it's important to pay attention to your physical health.
There it is. And where can everybody find you? I want you to have the opportunity just to share your information. Of course, I'm going to have it in the show notes, but if people are driving...
For sure. So again, it's your_AugustRush. That is on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
You can follow and listen to the podcast, Millennial Love Podcast. It's LOV3. Mm-hmm. And again, you can email me if you need any resources for mental health reasons at mhaley@abrighterdestiny.org.
There it is. And we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Just as Mish shared, definitely connect with her on social platforms. Let her know that you heard the interview, you enjoyed the conversation. And also be sure to subscribe to their podcast, Millennial Love. They're doing amazing things and they inspired my podcast. So definitely be sure to get with them. And for everybody else out there who is listening to the show and has not taken the time to subscribe to my podcast, be sure to smash the subscribe button. We're on Instagram. No. Oh, well, yeah. We're back on Instagram. Yeah. You can follow on Instagram at SYSPodcast1. But also be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a helpful review. And while you're listening, screenshot and use the hashtag SYSPodcast1. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. We're logging out with the... one and only Mish, who's one third of Millennial Love, the licensed mental health therapist,
as well as the entrepreneur, because she does everything. And this is Jonathan Jones, TEDx speaker and best-selling author, reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?